Well, good morning on this Mother's Day. I pray that it already has been special for you mothers who are here. We are going to be talking about this morning one of the best known mother-son relationships in the Scripture. There aren't a lot of relationships that are discussed in the pages of the Word, but there is one that is mentioned multiple times, and we're going to talk about that one. We're going to talk about the relationship between Eunice, who was the mother of Timothy, and will be in various texts, but we'll start in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I do apologize. I still have a cold, so if you can hear it, yes, I'm still working through it. It's been one of those, some people have called it the 9-day cold. So I started getting it last Sunday, still have it this week. It does linger. As you're turning, I wonder if very often as mothers, you grow discouraged. You wonder sometimes if when Jesus said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil or are the difficulties thereof," he was talking about mothers who have little children. You know, there's the first child learning curve. And then there's the third child exponential work that occurs. At least that was the experience for us, and it is for other mothers that I've talked with. You have that third child. Second child isn't a huge difference from the first, but boy, you have that third child. If they're all young, that really adds a lot. And then if you have four or more, it's ongoing, year after year of some sleepless nights, you know, the diapers, the burping and the puke and just on and on. And it can at times feel thankless, which is why Mother's Day was first declared by the president years ago, because he felt, rightly so, that mothers should be thanked. And he set aside a special day just for that. Do you get discouraged when you're at home and a couple of your children are arguing? And it's not the first time, it's not the second time, it's just like, children. Do you get discouraged when you catch a child in a lie? Or when they disobey? Or maybe they get in trouble on, you know, the playground, or if they're in public school at school or Christian school there? Do you get discouraged, and do you sometimes wonder if what you're doing even makes a difference? Well, I pray that the message this morning will be very encouraging for you. Does what you do matter? Listen to some of these quotes. Abraham Lincoln said, "Behind every great man is a great mother." Napoleon said, "Let France have great mothers, and France will have great sons." D.L. Moody, evangelist and founder of Moody Bible Institute, said this, "All that I have ever accomplished, I owe to my mother." Now, those are extra scriptural quotes. Let's go to the Word. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, that's not a guarantee. It's a proverb. It is a general rule. And the fact is, here's the thrust of the message this morning. The influence of a mother upon her children is huge. Don't forget it, and don't get discouraged. And even if your children are already out of the home, and you just get a call from them or you visit them periodically, don't forget how much influence you still have in the lives of your children. Why is the influence of a mother huge? Why is it so important? Let's turn to, I think we're already there, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read the first 7 verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. Focus especially on the next verse. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Eunice and Timothy. And we'll mention Lois, the grandmother, as well. She certainly had a major influence. In fact, so much so that she is specifically mentioned. This is fairly rare in Scripture. Believe me, I'm looking all over the Word of God for possible Mother's Day messages. And this is one that stuck out because both a grandmother and mother were mentioned. There are two reasons why the influence of a mother is so important that we see from this text and from others that talk about Eunice and Timothy. And the first of those two reasons is this. It is because her life truly influences her children. A mother's life influences her children. You make a difference. You matter. The things you do and the ways that you raise your children really make a difference. Now, we see first of all with Eunice and Timothy that her faith influenced his. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we read this. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From his childhood, Timothy was exposed to the Word of God. Eunice started when he was little. Now, when Timothy was little, what was Eunice teaching him? She was teaching him the Old Testament. In fact, Christ hadn't probably, based on Timothy's age, probably Christ had either just died or was soon to give his life on the cross for us. But she would not have known of him probably at that point and was not yet converted, probably not until Paul's first missionary journey. Not only did she expose Timothy to the Scripture, she exposed him to the faith. And that often starts with grandmothers and mothers. Look again at verse 5. This exposure to the faith through a mother was true for Timothy. It's often true for so many children. And look at the progression that we see in verse 5. A faith, this is in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother and mother, and now dwells in you as well. Lois and Eunice had a huge impact on Timothy's life through the exposure of the Word of God to him as a child, as well as by living the faith in front of him when he was a young man, and evidently sharing the faith with him. And it seems like through their example of coming to Christ first, Paul then was able to lead Timothy to Christ. There are multiple scriptures that talk about Timothy as being a child in the faith of Paul. Probably the Apostle Paul actually had the privilege of leading Timothy to Christ. But it was his mother and grandmother's influence that prepared him, as well as, of course, the Holy Spirit and God's Word. Their examples were especially important because it is highly likely that Timothy's father was not a believer. In Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, we read this. Paul came also during the second missionary journey to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek, which is another way of saying, at least most likely, that he was not a believer, not a follower of God, not the Jewish faith, not the Christian faith. And because in other scriptures it only talks about Eunice as having an impact on him, most likely Timothy's father was not a believer. So not only does a mother's influence make a great difference in the faith of a young man or a young lady, she also influences the character of her children. I'm going to turn to Philippians 2, and I invite you to turn there as well. Philippians 2. As you observe households over the years, you see children and you see parents, you realize that every child is different. Okay? They're all different. If you have multiple children, you know that. One child is not usually going to be the same in deportment and temperament and the way they see things, the way they go about things. They will not be the same. Some children will be self-starters. Other children will be slow to get going. You know, we homeschooled for a number of years, and wow, the differences between the children during those years. In fact, as we look now, the differences between our children are marked. And yet, though there are differences, because God has made each individual unique and special, Psalm 139:14, fearfully and wonderfully we are made, and that we know right well. So we know that each individual is made specially, each child that you have as a mother is made specially and uniquely. And so they will be different, but what will also, again, as a general rule, be true? Those children will all reflect their parents. Yes, they may have some differences, and they will have differences, but there will be a core to their character that will reflect their mothers and their fathers. In Timothy's case, probably his father wasn't a believer. It doesn't appear that his character reflected all too much his father. In fact, rather, mostly his mother. And when we read Philippians 2 about Timothy, verses 19 through 22, I think we see one of the main reasons why Paul mentioned Eunice more than once in his relationship, or her relationship rather, to Timothy. Look at what Paul says in the letter of the Philippians about Timothy that he was intending to send as an assistant to the elders in Philippi. Paul says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you." Focus in on Timothy's character. Verse 20, "For I have no one like him who will be genuinely," that is sincerely, without falsehood, not being fake, authentic. "I have no one like Timothy who will be so authentically concerned for your welfare. For they all," and he's talking about people that he has spent months or years with. He's talking about potential pastoral candidates that he could send to help them. And he says, all of the rest of the people that he has in mind, saved, walking with Christ, godly, yes, but not like this, not like Timothy, "For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." They all seek others. You know what? They, yes, they're growing and they're walking with Christ, but it's only Timothy who is, has a faith that is that, quote, unfeigned. Verse 22, "You know Timothy's proven worth." He's been there. He helped plant the church, right? "You know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." Mothers, your lives have a huge impact upon your children. You matter. Now, perhaps you're a single mother, or perhaps your husband is an unbeliever or is unsupportive. You may wonder, can your children grow up to serve Christ? Well, Timothy is a great example of that, but he's certainly not the only example in church history of a situation like that. We've all heard of John and Charles Wesley. In fact, if you open your hymn books, you'll see there's multiple hymns written by them. But are you familiar with John and Charles's parents, Sam and Susanna? Sam and Susanna Wesley were very influential upon their sons. One of them in a very good way, and one of them in a very bad way. Sam was a preacher, but his life was anything but a good example, okay, of Christ or of being a Christian. He was not a good father, not really a good father at all. Sam was bad with money. He couldn't manage money, didn't handle money well, and his family, because of that, lived in deep, perpetual poverty. In fact, the children often were starving. And we talk about children starving if they don't get supper, you know, by whatever time, you know, at 6 o'clock. You know, if it's 7 o'clock, oh, I'm starving. No, not that kind of starving. Not where the, you know, pangs of hunger are just beginning. We're talking about truly starving. You know, Sam would often argue with Susanna, put her down, be very irate, and would get so upset that he would just up and leave the house. Sometimes for days at a time, and they didn't know where he was. Sometimes even for weeks. Can you imagine what that did to the children as they're watching their dad loudly yelling at his wife and arguing? I don't know that he struck her, but yelling and then would just up and leave. How unsettling would that be for children? 9 of their 19 children, 19 children that Susanna had, 9 of those 19 children died in infancy. Can you imagine the pain and the heartache of that? And one of the 10 children that did survive was severely handicapped. So she had to, obviously in love, take care of that handicapped child along with the other 9. Sam was so bad with his debts that he was even thrown in the debtor's prison. And if you know anything about debtor's prison, I don't even know why they did it, because it just made matters much worse. You go to prison and you can't work and you don't get paid. And so when he was in debtor's prison, the stress and strain on Susanna and the kids was really, really heavy. To add to that, twice, not once, twice, their house burned to the ground and they lost everything. Clothes, furniture, the whole thing. And hard to replace when you don't have money. Clothes on your back, and that's about it. Sam was so ornery. Okay, I mean, it's embarrassing, but he was so ornery that people would often in the community get really angry with him. So much so that someone once killed their dog, burned their field with crop, and cut the udder on their cow so that the cow could not give milk. And they did that as a reprisal against Sam, but think about how that affected Susanna. And imagine how she must have felt in that situation, and how desperate, more desperate it made her efforts in trying to take care of the children. Susanna worked tirelessly. She worked in the field. She did all the gardening. She raised and educated the children. And she managed, or at least tried to manage, as best she could, the affairs of the home. With 10 children, one of them severely handicapped. And yet, she managed to carve out 2 hours a day for prayer. Now, this is moving. She carved out in her schedule 2 hours a day for prayer. And what she would do at certain times of the day is she would take her apron. And if you've read any of the Susanna Wesley biographies, you already know this. She would take her apron that she wore around the house pretty much all day, and she would cover her head with it. And that was a signal to her children that she was not to be disturbed unless it was an emergency. And look how the Lord used her faith and her example and her tireless efforts in spite of a husband like Sam. Look at how the Lord used her in the lives of her children. And because I think largely of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the example and love and care and efforts of a mother like this, John and Charles Wesley are household names today. God used them to influence an entire generation in the country of England. And honestly, their influence is still felt, not just in England, but even around the world today. Susanna's life reminds us of Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you have little children? Is it a struggle sometimes? Of course. Why even, ask? Your life matters. You make a difference. Don't forget, the influence of a mother is huge. And there are two reasons why. First, because her life influences her children. And second, because her life influences the church through her children. Look at how God used Eunice's son, Timothy, to impact the church. Now, probably no one in our congregation will ever have the opportunity to influence the church in ways that Timothy did or Paul the Apostle did at the inception. That's not our purpose. That's not what God is calling us to do. Don't compare your children and what they're doing, whether they're, if they're older in ministry or if they aren't. Whatever God calls them to do, okay, that's what God will do through them. And so here with Timothy, God used him to impact the church. Listen to some of these examples. Timothy was chosen by Paul while Paul was on the second missionary journey to travel with him. Why did he choose Timothy? Now look, he had Luke with him and he had Silas with him already. When Paul got to Lystra and Derbe, which is in modern day Turkey or Asia Minor back then, why did Paul choose, out of all the possible people that he could have selected as a traveling companion, why did he choose him? He chose him because of his faith, which is described as being sincere. He chose him because of his knowledge of the word, because of his character, and his disposition. The influence of a mother upon the church is huge. Now, yes, it was the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that saved Timothy and grew Timothy. But don't forget the shaping influence that Eunice's life had upon him. God also used Timothy on the second missionary journey as a church planter. Timothy helped to plant churches in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. The influence of a mother is huge. And even though Timothy was young, he was so mature that Paul left him and Silas in Berea to continue to teach a baby church plant while Paul left to go to Athens to plant another church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 talks about that. The influence of a mother matters. Timothy rejoined Paul at Corinth some months later, and they then spent a year and a half there together planting that church. Timothy traveled with Paul on the third missionary journey too, helping him to plant additional churches and encourage churches that already existed. The influence of a mother is huge. Timothy helped Paul to train the church at Ephesus, one of the most significant of the churches of the first century. I mean, it's their missionary efforts and their teaching that influenced Asia Minor, and in fact, influenced Europe. Paul spent more time in Ephesus than at any other location In fact, in one stint, he spent 3 years there. And the Apostle John spent over 30 years in the church in Ephesus. And it was Paul and Timothy and one or two others who planted that church and who spent accumulated time of years there teaching them and helping them to help other churches. The influence of a mother is great. You know, Paul even chose Timothy to carry the letter that we have in our Bibles called 1 Corinthians to the church at Corinth. Ah, that doesn't sound like that big of a responsibility. I mean, others could have done that. Ah, yes, others could have done that. But what else did Paul ask Timothy to do? He trusted Timothy so much that he sent him, instead of going to Corinth himself, to evaluate what was going on, because Paul had already heard that there were problems there, to evaluate what was going on, for Timothy to try to help them initially, and then to come back to Paul to report about the situation. The influence of a mother of Eunice and of a grandmother of Lois upon a son, in this case Timothy, was huge, and our influence upon our children, your influence upon your children, mothers, is important. After Paul was released from prison, he sent Timothy to be the pastor of the church in Ephesus. 1 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy. I mean, Timothy was often by Paul's side, and he was probably the number one helper to Paul while Paul was in prison on the in Rome during the first imprisonment. Timothy's life impacted the church in ways that we will never be able to measure. Only God can measure. Only God fully knows. Without question, Timothy's life mattered. And who was it that God used to teach Timothy when he was a child? Who was it that God used to influence Timothy as he grew up, to bring him to the faith as an example, Paul having the opportunity then to actually lead him to Christ? It was his mother. Mothers, we thank you for your tireless efforts. Your lives make a difference. You are raising the next generation in our church. This church, okay, will not be led by us old fogies forever, right? I mean, this generation, my generation, we're going to pass. We're going to get old. We'll retire. We'll die. You know what? It is the young people here, assuming that at least some of them remain in Sheboygan, the young people here will be the leaders in this church in the next generation. And yes, I think we must thank fathers, but we'll save that for another day. Okay, it's not too far away. But today, let's thank mothers for their influence. Our Father, we are grateful to our mothers. I'm so thankful for mine and the influence that she has had and still has in my life. Thank you, Lord, for godly mothers in this church and for the influence, the effect that they have on the character of their children. We pray that you will expend many blessings upon our mothers and help them to know, not just on this day, but in every day, that what they do, even when they're up late at night and even when they're changing the diapers or doing dishes or some of them at work, that their lives really do matter.
matter. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.